Welcome to the Spirit School of Ministry podcast, where we discuss discipleship in your everyday life. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. David here with Pastor Liz Jones and Pastor Bob Wilk. And today, we're going to manage or mismanage our anger.
Perfect.
Okay. Now, who is calm and who's angry? Like, we got to get our emotions going.
I have to work up my anger. I'm sorry.
Pastor Bob thought he had to work his anger up before we could even have this podcast.
I just laughed through all of your
anger. You want us to make you angry right now?
That should be easy. Come
right. Simple. We'll provoke you to anger so you can answer these things honestly.
Anger and good works.
Now, why are we talking about anger when there's Christians watching? You know, Christians, they don't get angry.
I never get angry.
It says, don't be angry in the Bible, right?
Oh, of course.
Yes.
Don't be angry.
God never gets angry.
Oh, wait, no. Yeah, no, he doesn't. Wait. I guess on every page of the Old Testament he does, but I guess if you don't count that part of the Bible, then God doesn't get angry.
I think one psalm, he's not angry.
Makes sense.
But he makes up for it in the next psalm.
No, but I mean, it is a big theme in the Bible, so I think it's good for us to talk about it. And, you know, what do we mean, though, when we're talking about anger and wrath? And what's that about? What do you think, Pastor Bob? What comes to your mind when I say anger and how it relates to maybe the church? It
makes me very angry thinking about this subject. I can't stop myself. No. Why are we laughing on an anger? We should be laughing on an anger. You know, I think people make fools of themselves in anger. Mm. And I think a church people can make a fool of themselves when they get angry too much. When it's not, well, let's do the religious thing. When it's not righteous indignation.
Mm. Yeah. You
know, I only get righteous indignation. That's it.
Yeah, what if they're right? What if they're right, you know? What if they're right to be angry? Maybe we should just cover that. We should cover that at the outset just to get it off the table of like, what would be an example of an okay, a righteous anger? Like, what do you think, Liz? Like, what's a righteous anger?
I think being angry towards things that are unjust.
Yeah.
You know, situations that are oppressive to people or take advantage of people or those types of things. I think it would be weird not to be angry. I think actually things like that, you know?
Totally. Wow. Yeah. What do you think?
Well, unfortunately I'm angry at anything that doesn't line up with my way of thinking.
That wasn't the question.
That wasn't the question. I just thought I'd answer some future questions.
Tell you what, you come up with your own questions and just answer them, and then we'll guess what they are.
That's good.
No, but I mean, wouldn't that be, that would be a good line between the righteous and the unrighteous anger, where it's like, hey, what are you really protecting? Are you protecting truth? Are you protecting human life? Are you protecting justice? Are you protecting selfish ambition? Are you protecting your reputation? Are you protecting a sin that you're committing? You know, are you protecting one person at the expense of another that you shouldn't be protecting?
I'm going to say most of the time, then, if I'm going to be honest, I'm in unrighteous anger territory. And
aren't we
once
all?
In a great while, I slip into righteous indignation for God. Once in a great while. I mean, if I'm going to be honest about it. Because you have to, like, I think to be angry in a righteous way like that, you have to really lock into the heart of God on a whole special level. Because it's coming against his truth. It's coming against righteousness itself.
Right.
And, you know, it's more than just like, well, I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, well, that's not the way I would do it. So now I'm mad at you. Mm-hmm. It's like, really?
Yeah.
That's not righteous anger.
I think, I think you're right. It is the locking into the heart of God and understanding that. Because when I think about like times when I've felt, actually, I feel like prophetically, like the anger of the Lord, it's usually like when I see what the enemy has done to someone's life.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And there's this anger that comes not at some other person, but at the, you know, the demonic forces or the unlawful rulers that are trying to exert they're trying to destroy somebody. And I actually like you feel the you carry the heart of God in anger towards that false god, that he wants to take his vengeance out on that. And actually, like, even if someone else has perpetrated something against them, you also feel an anger toward the forces over that person's life, you know, that would make them act that way. So it's not like it's, you feel anger. This is the righteous anger. You don't feel anger like pitting one person against each other. You have this anger against any demonic force that's involved in the situation.
Yeah, that's good. You know, that's,
I think, unfortunately, most of the time people, when they feel anger, it's or have anger, and they can dress it up as righteous anger, but I don't believe it always is, actually. And when I say dress it up, I mean, you can say, well, you know, that's against God's law. It's like, yes, it's probably against most of the, you know, laws that we have on our land that aren't God's laws too. Yeah. It's just, you know, it's something that doesn't set with you or you from your perspective or your upbringing or who you are. It's just not right. Mm-hmm. And we all see that. We see people abuse somebody and we'll all be like upset, like, that's wrong. You know, stop that. We might even intervene, right? Mm-hmm. But that's not necessarily righteous anger. Like, I mean, I want to believe that it sometimes could be that for me, but I, when I actually think about it seriously, I realize, oh no, some of that is just me. I just am, I don't like that thing, and I'm like dressing it up. I'm saying, yeah, it's righteous indignation. It's really, is it? you know, because God's righteous indignation is also balanced with his unparalleled grace and mercy and love all at the same time. You get all God all the same time. You don't get just one thing or the other. I mean, his anger is motivated by his love. It's not motivated. It's not motivated because he's just mad at everybody about things. I mean, you know, anyway.
Yeah, that was my question, is how does God's love relate to his anger? You know, because you mentioned that it is. What would you say, Liz, if I was to say, like, how, or I was to ask you, like, how can God be loving and he's angry? Like, how do they relate, those two things?
Because anything that he, any person that he loves, he has anger toward anything that comes to destroy them. So that's, I don't know, to me, it's pretty simple.
Right.
He doesn't get angry. He's not self-protective.
Yeah.
You know, he's not self-preserving. So things that are coming against against him, I don't think he really gets that bothered about, you know, but coming against his children, that's a pretty...
It's interesting thinking about God's wrath or God's anger. It's not a permanent attribute of God, because before creation, God wasn't angry. You know, it's not an eternal...
We gave him a reason.
Yeah, we did. Like, we actually, I mean, demons and, like you said, human beings, we've provoked him to anger as a love, a love response. But that's not the core of who he is. You know, the core of who he is love. But that means that you know, that has a corollary when that... So it's something
it's
that you got to
understand.
You don't
really know anger until you become a parent, you know?
It's very
true.
And
once you have kids, you're like, oh, I didn't realize I could be this angry.
Yes, that's true.
And we'll call it righteous.
Yeah, and then, but then, like, how even more angry would you be at someone trying to take that kid or trying to hurt that kid?
Right.
You know, it's like, it's nuts how much that can pull out of you if you have real love, you know? And so, you know, there's an idea in ancient theology that God has no emotions. He's impassible, right? He literally is serenely happy all the time. And it's just, there couldn't be anything more unbiblical than that. Because, like, that would make God unrighteous. He's not bothered by sex trafficking or abuse or murder or genocide or school shootings. Oh, you know, it just doesn't really faze him that
much. He's indifferent.
Like, what are you talking about?
Right.
Like, that's been a staple of theology for thousands of years. And you're like, what's going on with that?
Yeah, like, but in those scenarios, he is equally as angry as the... about the you know, the kid who gets trafficked and the injustice done to them and the abuse done to them. He's equally as angry about that as he is about the whatever happened to that person that put them in the frame of mind.
Yep.
You know, like whatever come against their souls to put them in the place to do that to another human. I think that's like understanding the anger of God is it's against all unrighteousness, against all... demonic oppression, you know, no matter which side it's on. That's why it's always like you get the mercy at the same time, you know, it's like, which is crazy for us to think about. We're like, this is the victim. This is the perpetrator. Mm-hmm. This is righteous anger. And this person deserves, you know, whatever punishment they
get. We rarely tap into actual righteous anger.
Yeah.
I because like I said, if it's not compelled by his love and his grace and his mercy and his honor and his truth
and his knowledge,
and his knowledge of the situation. Right. Like, and because it's actually looking at the sin and you know, and the core of the thing, not just the people swept up in the issues, because like you said, there's both sides of those issues. You know, we're not justifying that side, but we're saying with that, he's bringing the possibility for forgiveness and redemption at all times. Like that's what his anger is against. It's against the sin that kills, that, and it's for the redemption, the like being pulled like a brand out of the fire. It's that God. He's that kind of God.
Yeah.
Like, he's which is so great about his salvation and his continuing salvation all through our lives, no matter how good or bad we are, we need him.
Yeah.
And we're probably going to make him angry. Yeah.
I know I have. I mean,
like, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is one of the most amazing parts of God is his patience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, patience makes no sense if you're not really angry about something, you know? And so he's like, he's actually really angry about what's going on in the earth. He would like to stop it. But like you said, if he only acts for who is the visible victim right now, he excludes the possibility of redemption and repentance for anybody that's a transgressor,
right,
which I've been. So I'm really glad that he's had patience with me. And my favorite biblical example of this is in Jonah, where, you know, he says, "Hey, Jonah, go speak to the people in Nineveh.
Right.
Go tell them they're going to be destroyed." And you'd think Jonah would say, "Hey, great. I want to do that because these are the Assyrians. They skin people alive. They're constantly raiding my country. I hate these guys." But he's like, no. And he runs away. When he finally gives the message of judgment, people repent. And what does Jonah do? He goes to God and says, "This is why I didn't come here. Because I knew that you're a God who's merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and relenting from disaster.
And they don't deserve it."
Yeah. And he's like, okay, like, are you right to be angry? He asked Jonah. He's like, you think you have righteous anger? I'm the one that made these people. You know, I'm like, if anyone should be angry at them, it's me. But I have patience at the same time.
Yeah.
Well,
and then later, the book of Nahum, he judges those people because they went back to their ways.
Right. That was 100 years later. Only a couple of them were around.
Yeah. Well,
but the
a couple hundred thousand. Of them.
But the, I it's true. It's absolutely true, actually, in so many levels. But but God sees them. He also sees the problems, the weaknesses of people like that. He understands, you know, like he says about Nineveh, you know, they don't know like their right hand from their left. They can't judge.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah.
Yeah. They don't get, you know, they don't get this. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I'm coming to them maybe one last time with one last opportunity. And he understands that they're sinners. It's not like he just sweeps that under the rug. And
no.
But yeah, it's an interesting thing. Like I said, I rarely tap into righteous indignation. I'm just do Bob indignation. It works out. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah. I think it's just a good, like, I look at how God is with his anger and how much patience he has, and yet how he never compromises his justice. He's like, I'm willing to mitigate the punishment, I'm willing to delay it, I'm willing to relent from it. Give me a reason. You know, give me a reason to do something good for you. But then, you know, and I'm like, is that how I handle when I get provoked?
Right.
And it's not, you know, most of the time I'm like, that was wrong, you know, and well, I don't look at it as like, how can I get this person off the hook? How can I see it from their perspective? How can I bear with them? If I was to really look at Jesus and the Father, that's how my anger should be. It should be slow to anger. It should be willing to be entreated, willing to relent. Like that's really what we should have.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have that.
Also sometimes people confuse the fact that, well, I believe they look at consequences and thinks that's God's anger.
Mm-hmm.
When I believe that's just God's justice.
Might be his love.
It may be his love. It may be his law of how he's the law of life, not just the, you know, rabbinical law. I'm talking about God's law.
Yeah.
Right. And like, yeah, you do this, this is the consequence. It doesn't mean he's angry at you. It's just you chose it, so now it's happening. And so I think a lot of times people look at that and they go, yeah, see, that guy's got that consequence because God you know, was so mad at them because they did something so bad. And then, like I said earlier, they can't, then there's no redemption for that person if they will, like I said, We're not offering redemption without any kind of turning or repentance. You have to, with the redemption is so that you'll turn toward God, back to him, not just continue. We're not like being okay with everybody that's, you know, horrible and taking advantage of people. I mean, we want, you know, we want that in our lives, you know, so we, you know, we, like I said, consequences should not be confused with his anger.
Yeah, I think there is an element where God's wrath can be conceived of like giving you over completely to the consequence of your own sin. I mean, that would be like a judgment from God, like a judicial hardening. You know, if you look at like Romans and things like that, God gave them up to a debased mind. He gave them up. That's actually the ultimate form of his like wrath towards sin, would just be to let you receive the consequence that you're choosing to stay in that.
Right, because they didn't turn.
Yeah, they didn't. Yeah, I mean, they, you know, they hardened themselves before that happened. But there's so much more at play than just God getting offended at people. Oh, how dare you do that? Like, I like what you said about like, it's not personal necessarily. Like, could you maybe expand more on that? Like that he's not like trying to protect his own. His own nature, like
I don't know. I just think most of the times when I get angry, it's because something has touched some part of me, you know, and it's like this self-preservation or like this, like, how dare you treat me that way? How dare you do that to me? You know, and his response is never that. He's never angry of like, how dare you do that to me? You know, like he's he has a lot more self-confidence.
Yeah, he's not, or something.
He's actually God confident.
I mean, he's I don't know.
He sits in the heavens, laughs.
Right. He's God.
I mean, even Jesus, you know, Jesus is a man, but he died to that. You know what I'm saying? Totally. Like, it doesn't have a hold on him the way that it does on.
Ooh, that's an interesting way of transitioning. Is where do we see, do we ever see Jesus getting angry? Did that guy ever get angry?
Angry, yeah.
What are things that Jesus got angry at?
I think people not recognizing things that were supposed to be dedicated to the Lord, either places or attitudes or lives, and they took those things and treated them. They took the holy things and treated them unholy.
Yes.
Then, so that's where the righteous indignation comes in. I think he saw that, you know, you've turned my father's house, you know, into a den of thieves when it's supposed to be a place where people can come and speak to God.
Yes.
You know, so you've turned it, you've messed it up. So that kind of got him a little upset, I'm guessing, or angry. But by the way, he still died for all those people he beat.
Well, yeah.
This is like with your kids. This is hurting me more. No, it's
they're like, no, it's not.
Oh my god, no,
it's not. This is really hurting me more right now.
You don't do that anymore. You get thrown in jail these days. For things like that. It's not. It's not in the '60s anymore.
I think too, though, it's important. It's important to understand. Like Jesus, like he went and he took the time and he made the. You know, the whip or whatever. Like he, it wasn't like he just walked in, saw it, and like lost his stuff. You know, like he like just started flipping over tables and like he had a righteous response. Yeah. I don't believe it was like an out of control emotion.
No, I think.
You know, like he was very intentional and very purposeful in what he was doing, and it was a righteous anger at how people were dishonoring the Lord and dishonoring his house and dishonoring his people and taking advantage of the people. I think that's probably, I think the key, like, is when people are taking advantage of the people of God and using religion to manipulate them. That's like, that is where I sense the anger of a Lord a lot, you know, but it wasn't, I just want to like point this out. Jesus didn't have like this emotional reaction and just start going nuts on people.
Oh, exactly.
You know, like
he didn't have to go to anger management.
And like, I think because I've heard people like who just like lost it in a group setting and they're like, well, Jesus did this, you know, and they're
tables.
Like, they're like flipping out on people and just like using it as an excuse to unload on people and just completely lose all, like lay aside any self-control. And then they're like, well, this is how, you know, you were being unholy. Like just, you know, I've heard people say this,
of course,
you know, and I'm like, that is not.
No. I usually say to those people, you've had too much to drink.
Well, I mean, it's a great point you're making, because he deliberated it. It's you know, the Lord is slow to anger. That's one of his crucial attributes. You know, he reveals his name to Moses. He says, "I'm abounding in steadfast love and I'm slow to anger." And he's got this slow boil where he's like, you know. And then in Romans 2, Paul's like, you guys are storing up wrath for the day of wrath, because you are just presuming on grace after grace after grace. You think that thing doesn't overflow at some point? Like, what are you thinking here? You can't. This is who he is. Like, he's trying to lead you to repentance here.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, the temperature's rising a little bit. You know, there's going to be a judgment day. That's a reality that we believe in. But it's like, I love what you said. He didn't just fly off the handle.
Right.
They're like, what? You know, it wasn't an offense thing, you know. It was really a considered response to that. Mm-hmm. I think Jesus, too, you know, he was always infuriated at death. You know, it says he was deeply moved and angered at the tomb of Lazarus. Mm-hmm. I believe he was angry at demonic spirits. You'd say, like, be muzzled, which can also literally mean be strangled. You'd be like, you know. It's because he's not happy with it. You know, like, God is never like, just, oh, I'm rolling into town, I'm going to announce my wisdom teachings. That wasn't how he rolled into town. He's like, I'm here to be a sage and teach you all the ways. He's like, no, I'm actually here to like, to fight.
Kick down some doors.
I'm here to right. make wrong things right. I'm like the circuit judge of the Old Testament. I'm coming into town and we're making things right here. It's like, that's what's so encouraging to me about the anger of God. It means that, you know, injustice means something to God. It matters to him. Like, it's not just he's so far above it. Oh, you know, you guys figure it out down there.
Right.
Like, everyone's pain really matters to him. Mm-hmm. And he gets angry. That tells you it's not his direct will that happen. He can't be like, oh, I willed for this to happen, but I'm angry about it. You know, it's like, that doesn't, right. that's self-contradictory, you know? So he's coming to actually right wrongs. And I love that about him, that his anger could motivate him to do that and to like to show mercy to people. Mm-hmm. And that turns to us, like, can anger ever be a good righteous motivator for us as Christians? I know you kind of make the point, like, is our anger ever righteous?
Right.
But do you think there could be a place for it?
I think there's times, I think I've slipped into it by accident a couple of times. But
don't you feel it though, like in deliverance?
Oh, that's different.
Oh, why is that different? That's what we're talking about, though. Like,
it just feels different to me.
I mean, you sense that, focused, though. You sense,
oh, absolutely.
Like,
against
you are now
enemy.
Like a vessel for the anger of God to execute judgment.
You're against him,
right? Like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's like
different?
I said,
you think that's
for me,
different?
That's easy. That's simple for me. That's like, yeah, that's where that is. That's where it resides.
Don't you think that's righteous? Righteous.
Yeah, that's taking up God's cause completely then. Yeah. Like I said, I slip into that now and then. It'd be nice to live there forever, mm-hmm. but I, you know, yeah, in cases like that,
yeah,
cases of intercession, mm-hmm. I think you get there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think you get that.
Right.
Yeah, I believe there's times like that. Sometimes when we take up the cause of the poor or the needy, or, you know, people who have been wronged, I actually believe sometimes we step into those mm-hmm. places of righteous anger. I mm-hmm. really do. I just think we have to really judge it so that yeah. we're not just, you know, going yeah. off and then saying, well, God said, God made yeah. me, the, God made me mad at you like this.
You take up
like,
your own cause and put God's name yeah, on it.
Put God's system, put his little.
Your own little crusades.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Yeah. It's like being a crusader.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, it's happened a lot, right?
It has.
It's happened
Nobody
all
expects
through.
The Spanish Inquisition.
Yeah.
So bad.
The pastor of death has arrived again.
Oh, boy. Well, how could we guard against unrighteous anger? What do you think, Liz? Like, how could a Christian, we're like, I want to be angry like God is. I don't want to be angry like I am usually. You know, like, how could you guard against?
Yeah, I want to know from that? Liz, too.
Oh, yeah.
Gosh.
It doesn't mean you have to say you did it perfectly, but what would be some thoughts?
That's good, because I couldn't say that.
Neither could I.
I, again, like, with everything, I really think it starts with beholding him, like, If you spend time, you have to spend time communing with him, learning about him, knowing him, because then you have a less chance, I would say, of mistaking your nature for his.
No.
well, and you see the truth of who he is and his his love and his mercy and his compassion and his righteousness and his truth and all of that, it becomes harder to pass that off as your own, your own nature.
Yeah.
And it does always put you in reminder of, oh, you are compassionate to me. You're merciful to me. You are so patient with me. You could have written me off for so many reasons so long ago, and you continue to bear with me. You continue to love me. You continue to give me chances to repent. So I think that there's an awareness that comes by being with him, knowing him and being known.
Yeah.
I think that has to start there.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah.
You have any thoughts on that? How to guard against the unrighteous anger?
I think one of the ways to do it is to actually approach anger, you know, just the principle and the concept and how you operate in it, the way God approaches it. And that is what we said earlier, is to bring all the other facets of God and his character into play at the same time as the anger. Mm-hmm. I think anger by itself is not good.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently any of God's attributes all by themselves aren't so good. That's why he's God, right? You get all of him all the time. So, but I think if you just focus on one thing and that's the only thing, then that you just go overboard in that area in that moment, that you are not presenting, you're not thinking of something or approaching it like God does. And so you're going to go off. You're not going to have the godly balance, if you will, that you need to have, because like you said, the question is, when you're experiencing righteous anger, righteous indignation, are you still open for complete restoration and forgiveness in the same moment?
Yeah. It's tough.
Like, that's a tough one, right? So how do you, and like Liz said, if you're not spending some time with God on this, and I mean God personally, just speaking to him and him having him speak to you about these things, and then actually spending time in the Word where you see he's this God. Mm-hmm. He's a God full of mercy and indignation. And it's him. It's our full, it's not the Old Testament God, the old guy that needed anger management. You know,
that's such a horrible view of the Old Testament.
It's horrible.
There's so much mercy in the Old Testament.
And now
it says, right? It says his anger is for a moment, but his favor is for a lifetime.
Right.
That's in the Old Testament.
And also, like people, like I said, they try to make it like that was that God. He got, he got rehabilitated.
Lobotomy.
He's better now.
The Marcionite heresy. Right.
And then I always point them to, like, so why did Jesus say he's coming back with a sword? And that whole thing in Revelation.
He's going to revert back to his angry personality.
It's like, Revelation doesn't sound like it lacks righteous indignation.
Read about the fall of Jerusalem in 70 AD.
Right.
It was not
too
tame.
Or, by the way, some of our heroes in the New Testament, Paul and John, and they had righteous indignation against issues that sometimes they call out people, actual specific names, because I believe those people were promoting something really evil against God. Right. And so
Alexander the coppersmith.
Yeah, all of that kind of weird stuff, agnosticism and just all the things they brought, apostles that weren't really apostles and all that kind of stuff.
The synagogue of Satan.
Yes, the super apostle. And, so but those are our heroes in the New Testament. And
remember when Paul struck the guy blind?
Nay, he was having a bad day.
It was in the Bible. It's in the New Testament.
Or how about I turned him over to Satan?
Oh.
Oh, wait, God. This sounds like an angry Paul. That's all I got.
Completely loving.
Completely loving at the same time.
I mean, because God's character can't change at all. So, we have to realize that.
Yeah. It's a tough one. Mm-hmm. It's nice to talk about, like, the love of God.
Well, this is the love of God.
I know. It's just so nice, this isolated there, and it's all cuddly. You get your, weighted blanket.
Yes.
Right now.
We lost her.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just thinking about this question of, guarding against unrighteous anger. Like for me, I think like expectations are key.
Yeah.
Like, what do you expect out of life? Like, do I expect the day's going to go smooth? If I do, I'm going to be angry a lot. If I expect that there could be some chaos in the day, I should prepare myself. I could be a light in that situation. It's not really going to shock me as much. I'm going to be more prepared to deal with it. Hopefully I've met with the Lord, like Liz said before that, and I've prayed and, hey Lord, you know, put the armor on me, prepare me for this. Then I stand a much better chance of guarding against unrighteous anger rather than if I just wake up late, I blunder out, you know, my kids are screaming at me, I'm behind schedule. There's not going to be much patience there, and there never is. And I just, you know, I need to come out of that to just be like, hey, look, like this is important to the night before, or, you know, early in the morning. Like, hey, what is my expectations for the day? Am I living for myself or for God? You know, because if I'm living for myself and having a great day and everything's going to fall into place, that's going to get interrupted at some point. Or I could see that as an opportunity from God, you know? So I think like for me, that was like the counsel I need to take is like, what do you expect? Like, is evil like an unexpected thing to you? Is provocation an unexpected thing to you? Or do you expect to overcome evil with good? Like, do you expect to have to be patient and to cultivate that within you? You know? So I think sometimes we just think, you know, God promised us this blissful, peaceful existence. Yeah. When that might not be what comes to us. Maybe not. Maybe it won't.
Maybe not.
It is fun to watch.
Maybe it will. I don't know.
It is fun to watch when you go off in unrighteous anger. I have to admit.
It's not fun to.
You know, you just go it. Like, I'm glad I'm not that kind.
I know.
And yes. I'm sure you do the same for me.
Okay. Well, let's say you get angry. Let's say it happens.
Oh.
Maybe it'll happen. Maybe sometimes it gets to you.
Back. Let me see.
This is a hypothetical.
It happened, maybe.
Possibly. This is a hypothetical. Okay, so imagine you were to get angry. Okay, what should you do with that anger?
Shut it down.
Yeah, exactly. You hear that?
Shut it down.
Suck it up. Just bury it real deep.
Conceal, don't feel.
Yes, I want to bury the hatchet.
In someone.
Because we've got those two options. We can shove it down or we can lash it out. You know? But is there another way? Is there another thing we could do with it?
Yes.
Or do we have to just say, well, I'm Italian. Oh, I'm Irish. You know, I got to do this.
Yeah. Or I'm not angry.
You're angry.
I'm not angry. What's wrong with you? I'm not angry.
Your mom's angry.
Yes, you are.
Well, seems like you guys don't really have an answer for this.
Well, we have anger. We have answers.
What do you do when you get angry?
Yeah, what's the right
what
thing?
What should you do when you get angry?
You know,
theoretically.
It doesn't even have to be the right thing. What, you know, what should you do? What's going to help our people here?
Oh, so many things.
It doesn't have to be the right thing.
No, I don't know. We have... Be truthful.
Someone's going to go postal. we got to pull them down.
Don't go postal. Disclaimer.
Pull them back.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I say it's better not to make any enduring decisions in anger. You should probably just stop if it's all possible.
10-day waiting.
Okay. What's that? Yeah. Wait, yeah, you just need a cooling off period.
Yeah.
Right. If it's righteous indignation, your spiritual, you won't cool off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't have to worry about that.
Right.
Okay. But if it's unrighteous, you just need to cool down. Now, does that always happen? No.
Mm-hmm.
Have I always been successful in that? Maybe once. but it is the answer to it is to delay decisions that you're making under duress and the stress of it. You know, because when it's unrighteous indignation or unrighteous anger, guess who's got part of that? Guess who's like the promoter of that?
Yeah.
And guess what he likes to do? He's like, you got to do it now. You need to do, come just on. Say it. Just do it.
Just it'll be funny.
It'll be great. They deserve
it. Like I said, once I was successful at not doing that, but it's better if you don't. Take this from someone who's really failed in this area. It's better if you don't.
Okay, we forgive you, Pastor Bob.
Thanks. All right. I appreciate that.
I absolve you.
I was kind of getting angry at you.
That's really good advice.
Yeah, I think it's actually the right advice if you, like I said, it's a way, it's a, the ability to discern, is this my own kind of soulish or fleshly emotions and anger boiling up, or is it actually godly?
Mm-hmm.
And that the two, godly anger is, I don't think, is motivated by your feelings. At all, actually. And so if it's all feelings oriented, you should probably wait. You should probably just hold off. Even if you just think, well, it's right. I know it's right. It's like, yeah, it might be right, but it's not the right time right now to be doing this, because you're going to, you know, you're going to do something that you are going to regret later.
Yeah.
Because you're promoting something that is not God's righteous anger. It's just that. And the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God, according to the Bible, at least. And what you actually are promoting is your wrath.
Yeah.
Right? Your anger, and not God's.
Yeah. I think it's important to, you know, if it does persist and it's unrighteous, like something that's hard for me to do is actually like speak to the person that might have angered me the situation and just actually do what the Bible says and go one-on-one to a person and hash it out. And oftentimes there's no reason to be as angry as you were, you know, and you'll be able to figure it out. I think expressing it can be important if it's just remaining with you, expressing it to the person, not just gossiping to everybody else. Or like the best thing to do is pour it out before God. And like, there's plenty of Psalms that are called the imprecatory Psalms.
I like those.
It's like, where David's like, God, kill these people.
Yes.
And you're like, he didn't, you know, well, some of them he did actually
kill. He's a man after God's heart.
Some of them he did actually kill. But, you know, the idea would be like, you say that to God so you don't have to say it to anybody else. And you pour it out, you're honest with him, and he can deliver you from that. And he can give you a better perspective on the situation. But sometimes as humans, we have to process that. We have to speak it. So we might want to write it out to God or play it in a song or, you know, swoop your hair and be emo and write a poem about it. And, you know, whatever helps you to, you know, get that thing.
Well, I got to tell you, and maybe you guys, cause you guys are good anger management people, can help me with this. But most of the time when I get angry, it's not at a person, it's at an inanimate object.
Like a toaster.
like my computer.
Yeah.
Come on. Now, see, you're not being honest. You know, you'd be like, this thing.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean.
No, I agree.
No, most of the time I get angry, it's at people.
Some people are inanimate objects. Some people act like inanimate objects.
The reason I know this is that's why I have a sore arm, and that's why this table is dented from me hitting it.
Yeah. I mean, Jesus flung those tables.
He was mad at the table. Mm-hmm. He wasn't mad at those people.
That's right.
Of course not.
That's the explanation.
Loving God.
You know. What do you think, Liz? Anything else that might help someone when they get angry? What should they do with that that anger right there?
Things. I think don't let yourself use it as an excuse to like indulge yourself. I would say that. Like, I think sometimes we get angry and we're like, that's it. I'm just going to do what I want. And whether that means like, I'm going to unload on people. I'm going to dabble in sin. Sometimes that happens. Like, we're just like, we take it as an excuse to justify us doing, being rebellious or like being unkind or being whatever it is. And like, and I get it. It feels good sometimes. Feels like good. I'm mad. I'm just going to wallow and do what I want. And it doesn't matter anyway. And like, you know, so that's a really dangerous place to step into. So I would say don't indulge yourself in your anger because you're going to open some doors that.
So you're saying discretion shall actually preserve you.
Yeah.
Like it will actually save your life.
Yeah. And along the lines of what you were saying about like making decisions in that place, really not letting yourself say or express things that are going to do lasting damage. in relationships, and because some of those things, like, you're in a temporary emotion, but some of those things can really have a lasting effect past your emotion. And so that would be my
Well, that's probably good to turn off Facebook too. Probably good to go nowhere near Facebook.
Yeah, you
I can't stand that.
But you know, you guys, too much.
I can't. I was like, what?
Gas prices. Well, right about
the,
it.
I also think the natural or man's anger is, I mean, it does lead to death. There's a dying involved. There's a killing involved with it. It's a loss. It's a destruction.
Yeah.
And God's anger is actually designed for the opposite.
Yeah.
Right.
I know it's hard to imagine. You know, like when you're in the middle of it, you're probably not seeing that, but that's really what it's for. That's who he is. He's not willing that any should perish. But, you know, because he hates sin, there's going to be a lot of people perishing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, but yeah, I think, like I said, I think that's the thing is if you, in helping, you know, when you, like you say, discern, think about something, hey, is this going to help? Is this going to create life? Or am I just doing this to hurt the person? Because I don't think God does anger to hurt somebody. I mean, he can hurt you in a lot of other ways if he wanted to.
Right.
Not to,
best way for him to hurt you would just be to give you what you want.
Or ignore you, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just ignore you. That's,
I think it's important for me. I have to figure out, why am I angry? Like, there's sometimes I start getting really angry, like, when a conversation, I start getting really angry, and I don't actually know why. And I have to, like, if I'm wise, I will hold my tongue and think and go, like, examine my heart. Like, what just happened that made me so angry?
Yeah.
And usually it's because, like, my pride got injured. You know, there's something where I felt like someone did something to me or someone that I love, you know, and then I have to determine how to handle it from there. But even like you were saying, like going into a conversation to try to work something out, if I don't walk in there with the mindset of I actually want to restore relationship with this person and be reconciled and come to understanding, I just go in with, you know, guns blazing, which is not not productive.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. We're going in.
Because everyone comes out wounded out of that place. Right.
We're going in for damage.
Yeah. I mean, the emotions, it's just there to tell you something. It's there to give you information about reality, you know, that you have to deal with. So I think some people think of anger itself as bad. But it's really like what you do with that anger that makes all the difference. You know, it's like trying to understand it. Like, what's it telling me? What's going on? How do I respond to it? Maybe I need to repent. Maybe somebody needs to be confronted. Maybe evil needs to be stopped, whatever it is. Like, I think that's good to like ask God for wisdom in that, and be slow to anger, slow to speak, right? That's the biblical instruction. If you can find a way to delay it and to delay the response, you know, maybe sanity can come back and you don't have to resort to, you know, I think in psychology it's called displacement, like where you kick the dog. you're mad at your kid, so you kick the dog or something. I don't do that, but you know, you kick a raccoon in the street or something. You know, you don't want to do that.
You don't want to do that either.
I mean, it's crazy, but I think we have to put our anger somewhere, and that's why I would just encourage people, like, pour out your heart before God, and you know, try to figure out what's going on. Don't just like pretend it's not there, because I think what the Bible teaches is, it's telling you something that you need to respond to, because the Bible says, don't let your sun go down on your anger. Mm-hmm. Don't just let it fester. Like, there's a difference between giving it time before you act on it and just ignoring it and just letting it fester.
Or feeding it.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, how would you do that? Ugh. How have you done that?
How have I done that? Yeah, I'll tell you.
Do it. Tell me.
You just keep like rehearsing it over in your mind, and then you start to tell other people about it.
Oh, yeah.
And like, you just keep feeding that thing, and then it grows and it gets more entrenched in your soul. And now it becomes a point of pride too, right? So now you're like, it's harder to give it up because you've like really invested in this way that you were mistreated, right? And now it's like, now you're not very open to reconciliation because you've made such a point about how you were wronged.
Would that be related to like a root of bitterness?
And it goes Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then it takes root mm-hmm. and it begins to poison everything in your life. Mm-hmm. That's what it does.
Yeah.
Not that I know from experience.
How do you get rid of that bitterness? How's that bitterness come out? Either of you guys. Ugh. Ugh. How do you drive out that bitterness?
Just let it go. Oh. Let it go. Bring it out.
Rip it out.
Rip it out by its tail. Well, I think that when you mentioned don't let the sun go down on your anger or wrath, I think what God's really provoking you to there is not, take out your anger before the sun goes down. It's actually resolve it.
Right, right.
Take care of business. Because with bitterness, with that kind of, worldly anger, if you will, there's only one resolution to that, and that is actually to make it right. Mm-hmm. To let it, ask forgiveness first from God, maybe to somebody you've hurt or, said something wrong about, and then to turn from that, stop doing that. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no... if somebody's looking for like some angel to come down from heaven and go, poof, oh, there, you're all better. It's like, no, because God understands that we have control in that area in our lives, in bitterness, in wrath, in anger. That's something that we have. You know, when we talk about anger management, that's what you're managing is your own anger. Only you might be managing it totally wrong. Yeah. You might be mismanagement. Yes. And so, but you're responsible for that, that you can't, no one should ever make you angry, right? That shouldn't be your excuse. Yeah, it is most of the time.
Right.
You go, they made me angry. But in reality, you let yourself become angry over something that may have been unrighteous, mm-hmm. just not God's thing, not the way he would have done it.
Yeah.
You walked yourself into that place instead of recognizing it for what it is, confessing that thing, forsaking that thing. And, that's where all sorts of stuff happens there. People get, odd against each other, and then they hold things against each other for a lifetime. Mm-hmm. People go to their grave because of this kind of stuff. Sure. So they turn that weird little feeling into something. It was just like death in their own soul. And it's true what you said. When you make a declaration, especially if you go make it public, which is called gossip, if you do that, most of the time, because of your pride, you will want to stand by your declaration. It doesn't matter, come hell or high water, wrong or right. People can come and give you facts like, no, it was wrong. You were, no, look, it's documented. And you'd be like, no, I'm still good. I don't care.
Yeah.
damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead. I'm going, No, that's what happens with people. The pride drives that kind of thing, even when you're wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, even when you're just wrong and you just won't pull away from it because you've declared it. You want to stick by what you thought you were right in. That's the danger of anger. That's not godly anger.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that goes to something you said at the beginning about anger making fools of people.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys, either of you guys want to expand on that more of like, how have you seen in pastoral ministry, like foolishness come through somebody's mismanagement of anger?
I think when people allow themselves, like I said, to like give up control and hand themselves over to the rule of their emotions, that like all sorts of weird stuff happens there. Like, and I've seen it happen publicly where people are saying things and it's like, you can damage your people's trust in you so quickly when you give up self-control. Mm-hmm. And like, it is just, you could be a great leader for a lot of years and you have a moment where you hand yourself over to anger or hurt or whatever it is. And you start unloading and it can, you may not actually win people back after that. So that's
damage might be irreparable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. I think, this is one of those areas where we owe it to each other to help stop each other. Like, I mean, and that's a tough thing because most people don't want to intervene, especially if somebody's espousing something that you're kind of like can see like, oh yeah, there's probably some right there, maybe not all right. Or, you know, or they're angry about something, you know, some injustice that, you know, you're against also, but now they're taking it to a new level, you know, or against somebody. And we, as a good brother, you know, there's a friend that sticks closer than the brother. If you're going to be a friend like that, you need to be able to step in and speak to that person and go, hey, you know, you need to stop. You're off. You know, just chill out here, mm-hmm. calm down. And we actually owe that. And in life, we see this in emotional anger at people. You know, someone's going to get angry, and, you know, people with, you know, cooler heads will step in and go, hey, let's just stop. And you walk the person, you walk them back, right? You
hold me back.
Hold me back. Hold me back. Somebody hold me back. I'm liable to hurt somebody or me, you know. And but that's a really good person that's willing to step in, because guess what? Mm. They're probably sacrificing their friendship with you there when they do that, especially if you're in a heated moment. Yeah. You know, there might be a lot of things they're sacrificing, mm-hmm. their own reputation. Like, wait, are you like taking sides with that sleazeball of a person? This guy has indignation. And you're like, I got indignation against that evil too. But, you know, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
And so that's a tough thing. I mean, you know, we're talking to people and mm-hmm. they listen to this, and that's a good friend. That's a good Christian person that will step in at the risk of the self-damage, hurt.
Yeah.
You know, when you step in the middle of something like that, you're liable to get hurt.
Oh, that's how it goes. You will catch a bullet on that one.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's like getting in the middle of a domestic argument. Mm-hmm. Who gets hurt? The person that was trying to stop, you know, stepping in to try to stop somebody from hurting.
Yeah.
It's like, and so, but you know what? Christian issues of bitterness, all that stuff, those are domestic arguments. Those are domestic problems in God's
family.
In God's family. Mm-hmm. And you're going to get hurt. But you know what? You need to do it. It's the right thing to do, and you should do it. And you will help somebody. You'll just help. You'll give them the time to cool down. Like, don't do anything right now. Will you just slow down? Think about this. Tomorrow is an okay day to, we'll talk about it again, but don't, you know, and then check on the person. Yeah. Don't just let them go to themselves.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's
good. I mean, we have to interrupt
reality.
We have to interrupt that, because, you know, anger is very contagious, and, you know, it's like you says, don't be close friends with a man given to anger, because even if you rescue him, you'll have to do it again. You'll have to do it again. You have to do it again.
Right.
And over time, like, you become like that, because mm-hmm. there's truly a power in anger, and people can use it to intimidate, to get their way, to rule over a situation.
Yeah.
And it's not good for them. It's completely corrupting them. And it would take a lot of courage to take that bullet and say, you need to stop now, you know, like, which is, I believe I already referenced Jesus, you know, he's coming up against these evil spirits, and he just goes, be silent now, you know, just stop. And that takes so much courage to stand up to that. And it needs to be done for the good of that person, you know, to rebuke the force behind that, which one could argue, like, intimidating someone to control them. That's very dark. Like, that's a very dark,
you know, thing. And that's on a personal, you know, one-on-one mm-hmm. level. It also, anger has, like, it has the ability to spread, like mm-hmm. mob rule, right? And like
riots,
You were saying earlier, some people who might be evilly being driven, if you mm-hmm. will use that to manipulate people into acting as a mob. I mean, or maybe just against. I mean, God forbid, it would never happen in a church.
No, of course not.
Right, never.
That could never happen.
Never. But that's what you have to, that's what's at stake there, is that mm-hmm. that anger, that, like I said earlier, the anger of man, the wrath of man does not work God's righteousness. And it can actually move a whole group of people mm-hmm. in a weird place where they start hurting other people, hurting each other, and lose sight completely of God's righteousness, God's, how he balances that with his anger and his justice. Just lose sight completely. No, we're gonna hang everybody.
Yeah.
That's it.
If you have a problem with anger, I mean, Proverbs likens that to drunkenness. Mm-hmm. time and time again. Like, you're literally drunk. You're blind to reality. Mm-hmm. You're stumbling around. You're hurting everyone around you. You're throwing firebrands. Like, that's such a dangerous, you know, thing to give yourself to.
Crazy.
Well, I think we're coming towards the end. I was wondering if our peace pastor, Liz, would pray us out.
I'm the peace pastor now.
Today you get to be the peace pastor.
I'm so angry at you. I know. I was going to be the peace
pastor. Maybe you can just pray some peace over the people and, you know, that God will help them.
Yeah.
And that us. Is a good
thing. Let's do it. Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, we come to you, Lord, just acknowledging that we are weak, Lord, and we still have a lot of transforming to do in this area. And we come acknowledging our complete dependence on you, Lord, that you would shape us and mold us and teach us, Lord, how to be angry at the right things, but Lord, how not to carry our own burden of unrighteous anger, Lord. And we ask, God, that you give people hope, Lord, who maybe feel like they're stuck in a cycle of anger and they can't get out. Lord, we know that you have deliverance and you have freedom in that area, Lord, and that it is your will for us not to live governed by anything except for the Holy Spirit. And so we just speak hope to people that we are given a spirit of self-control, Lord, that you have designed us to be ruled by you and by you alone. And so, Lord, we thank you that there's forgiveness. We thank you that there's grace. We thank you that you empower us to live a life of godliness. And we just acknowledge our need of you in this area, Lord, to be taught of you, to be trained of you, Lord, to be shaped and transformed and molded by you, God. And so we invite you to come and speak to us, to reveal places that we need to let go of anger and to trust you to take care of the things that make us angry, Lord, and that you teach us how to navigate those things. So we commit them into your hands. In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Well, in the words of Mr. Freeze, chill out. Just chill out.
Yeah.
And we'll see you next time.
All right.
Thank you for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to get the latest episode. And for more information, visit spiritschoolofministry.com.